is a professor of visual art at the Daytona Beach Community College. He's a documentary photographer with a longtime interest in outsider and vernacular art. He's received grants from the National Endowment for the Arts and the Fulbright Foundation. Today, we'll speak with Gary about a fascinating group of artists called the Highwaymen. I know you'll be intrigued by their incredible story. Welcome, Gary, and thanks for joining us on The Book Report.
My pleasure.
Can you introduce us to the Highwaymen?
The Highwaymen are a group of African-American landscape painters who, between about 1960 and 1980, showered our state with an estimated 250,000 oil paintings. Their enterprise went dormant then and was rediscovered about 10 or 12 years ago, and subsequently they became pretty much the staple, the definition of Florida art.
And who named the group?
They were named by a friend of mine named Jim Fitch, an art dealer and gallery owner in Sebring, Florida. It's interesting because during their tenure, during their 20, 25 years of diligent work, they were unnamed and anonymous. The idea of authorship was not central to their enterprise. Their work was designed specifically to appeal to the consumers. It was one of the rare instances in which art and commerce were wonderfully married.
And they were all from the Fort Pierce area, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much all of them. Some were from Gifford, which is the African-American neighborhood in Vero Beach, which is just a few miles north of Fort Pierce. But yes, they all hailed from that area.
How did they get interested in painting?
Interestingly, the supreme Florida regionalist, A.E. Backus, who's Caucasian, lived in Fort Pierce. And by good fortune, there was one young high school student named Alfred Hare in the late 50s, who was introduced to Mr. Backus by his high school art teacher, Zenobia Jefferson. And Alfred took Saturday morning painting lessons from Mr. Backus for about 2 years. And when he graduated from Lincoln Park Academy in 1961, decided to be a millionaire by his 35th birthday, a pretty lofty dream for a young black child at that time, and especially one who seemed to be socially destined to work in the citrus groves. That was his unequivocal dream, and he was going to do it by painting. And he encouraged his friends and family and strangers to join him. He had a magnanimous personality. And after a couple of years, there were about 26 like-minded young people embarking on this unimaginable career as painters.
Why were they called the Highwaymen?
Because of the way they sold. Alfred and his cohort knew they weren't going to have representation in galleries. They weren't going to have a waiting list like Mr. Backus enjoyed. So instead, they followed the cue of the Fuller Brushman and took their paintings to the offices and homes of their consumers by driving up and down U.S. 1 and all the other roads in and around their region and beyond, basically down to Miami, up through Daytona Beach, and even across the state into the Lake Okeechobee area. They did not set up at gas stations like some people believe, as Chanel bedspreads were sold. They actually had the audacity of hope to knock on the doors of strangers, doctors, lawyers, accountants, banks, telephone companies, wherever there were people, real estate offices, and they would simply pitch to an individual their paintings.
And at that time, how much did they sell for?
The typical size painting, 2 by 3 feet, was sold for $25.
And now, how much would that same painting be worth?
So it depends on the painting and who painted it, but anywhere between $600 and $6,000.
I understand there was one woman in the group. Tell us about her.
Yeah, Mary Ann Carroll was the sole female highway person, and doggedly determined to keep up with the guys and often surpass them. The only difference was she'd be home at 3 o'clock to cater to her 7 children when the school bell rang. So she had a different trajectory than her male counterparts. But she rose to the occasion and was a very active member of the group.
So did the group paint together, and did they paint out of doors?
They were not plein air painters. They did not paint on location. They painted in their backyards or less romantically in their garages. And they painted from memory. They didn't use photographs. They simply, as Livingston Roberts, one of the core painters, said to me, that he grew up in that landscape and knew it inside out. They didn't need to go outdoors to paint it. And they just attacked their boards. In fact, they didn't use underdrawings or any kind of grid system. They painted very intuitively using wet-on-wet oil painting techniques and still kept their colors colors alive and vivid. And they would crank out more than one painting at a time. You know, besides knowing they weren't going to have an easy time selling their paintings, they had to lower their prices to make the sales more feasible. And they would often paint throughout the nights, making between 6 and 20 paintings at a stretch, and taking these out and selling them for $25 instead of $250 each to make the same kind of money that Mr. Backus was making.
We're speaking with Gary Monroe on the Book Report.
Now, I understand their early works were not on canvas. Is that correct?
Yeah, none of their work was on canvas, except for some very early work, which was done on canvas board, but that was very rare. They painted almost exclusively on what is called Upson board. It's no longer available. It was used as an interior wall board for construction. It was much less expensive than buying canvas. And they figured out ways to take a 4x8-foot sheet and cut it into waste-free sizes.
All right. And how did you first become interested in the group?
I was actually researching, photographing, and then writing about outsider artists in Florida, usually self-taught renegade image makers. And it was through that project that I found my way to Fort Pierce and had a fateful meeting with three of the painters in the mid-set 90s. And got really fascinated by their story and their artwork and decided to spend some more time with them and write the book.
Are any of the original painters still painting today?
Yeah, you know, interestingly, when the market for their paintings subsided in the early 1980s, because they were commercially driven, they all stopped painting, except for a few that were core, that had no other occupations or other interests. But basically, it went dead. And when the book came out, they started painting all over again when they saw the new interest and renewed marketability of their artwork. So now every one of them is painting. A few, of course, have died in the interim, but everyone who's living is actively painting.
So I know the Highwaymen are beloved in Florida, but is their popularity growing nationally and maybe even internationally?
Slowly but surely. Many of us who are involved in their story are surprised it hasn't been picked up more than it has been nationally. Although I've written some articles outside of Florida, and I've been involved with some exhibitions that have been shown outside of Florida, and I get inquiries from people outside of Florida. But I think it's very slowly. It's still on the ground stages, I think. It's just about to be launched, I think, in a more national way.
In researching this interview, I learned that Alfred Hare had a tragic end. Talk about that.
Alfred Hare, by all accounts, was charismatic and movie star handsome with a heart of gold. And in fact, he was about to relocate from Fort Pierce in August, the summer of 1970. He was going to move to Hallandale, where his father lived, to capitalize off of the Dade County and Broward County businesses and boom there. And the night before he was out at Eddie's Place, a juke joint on Avenue D, the social hub of the black community in Fort Pierce. And long story short, a jealous man, jealous of Hare's success and good looks, etc., lost his cool and pulled out a pistol and shot him.
Oh.
And he died at age 29. On top of his game, and the father of six children.
Oh, that's tragic.
It's very tragic, yeah.
I know that you've written the book The Highwaymen, but you've written other books about the group also. Tell us about them.
Yeah. After The Highwaymen book was written, I realized that I told the story primarily through Alfred Hare, which I think is how the story has to be understood. But there's a flip side to the story, and that's the artist Harold Newton. And Newton's paintings are actually the most preferred by consumers, collectors of these paintings. So I decided to write about Newton and did a book about him. Really, it was a flip side of that coin. And then after that happened, I interviewed Al Black, who was the most colorful of the Highwaymen. And he was incarcerated, and in the prison where he was serving his term, the warden allowed him to paint murals. So we transformed this very bleak institution into this place in which inmates spoke with reverence under the glow of 90 murals painted on the walls.
Wow.
And I thought that was just icing on the cake. And then both Marianne, I was done at that point, but then both Marianne and my publisher, University Press of Florida, asked if I would consider writing a book about her. And after some arm twisting, I decided to go ahead and do it because I was in her debt. She was very helpful to me during my early days of research.
Well, in addition to your books, where should art lovers go to learn more about the Highwaymen?
Oh, gosh. It's a good question. There's a new website called Vintage Highwaymen Art. com that I think is about to be launched, which I know has accurate information. Much of what I see on the internet, especially on eBay, is skewed and faulty. And there's some better museums that show their work. I curated a major show a few years ago for the Fort Lauderdale Museum of Art, and they did a beautiful exhibition catalog. Florida Atlantic University is getting ready to mount an exhibition about the highwaymen, which should be stunning. And just got to keep your eyes and ears open.
All right.
You're welcome to email me. I'm happy to answer questions.
Oh, what's your email then?
Best to use the website floridafolkart.net, N-E-T.
All right. If listeners wanted to purchase a piece of highwayman art, what would you suggest?
Well, it's a complicated issue. The works are nuanced, and I would start with whether one would want a vintage painting or a new painting. And I'll go as far as saying they're radically different. That's number one. And if one goes for a vintage painting, one is best advised to study who the artists are, how they fall in the hierarchy of things, highwaymen, how they painted, and what differentiates better paintings from lesser paintings, which range from the painterly quality of a particular work as well as the subject matter, its interpretation.
Well, Gary, I want to share that I have two highwaymen paintings, and every time I look at them, I think of, in my own mind, the Florida sunset that I've seen so many times. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Elaine, it's my pleasure. Thank you so
much. All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye now.